Isaiah 28, from verse 9 to 11. Whom will he teach knowledge? To whom will he explain the message? Those who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts? For it's precept on precept, precept on precept, line on line, here a little, there a little. But he will speak to this nation with stammering lips and in another language. What does this mean? Well, in the context, the Jews are mocking Isaiah. They are against him, they're against his message, and they're mocking him. And I think that when they say, whom will he teach knowledge? This is the Jews talking to Isaiah. In verse 7, he has condemned the priests for being drunk. And I think this is the drunk priests and prophets saying, to whom is Isaiah going to teach knowledge? To whom is he going to explain the message? Is he treating us like we're little babies, those who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts? It's precept on precept, precept on precept, line on line, here a little, there a little. It's as if they're saying, he just keeps droning on. But if you read this in Hebrew, the repetition of the sounds sounds as if he's stammering. And I'll try to say it. Tzav latzav, tzav latzav. Kav lakav, kav lakav. As if they were imitating his stammering. And so God responds to Isaiah in verse 11, yes, he, that's God, will speak to this nation with stammering lips and in another language. So, yeah, they're mocking him, that you're stammering, and they're imitating him. As if you can't get the words out, can you, Isaiah? They're drunk people, drunk priests and prophets whom he's just been criticizing, and they jump up and say, who do you think you are, you Isaiah, teaching us? We're the priests. You're teaching us like we're little babies, like we're just drawn from the breasts. Who do you think you are teaching us? And the way you talk, you're stammering and stuttering all the time, saying the same old thing. And God says, yep, I will speak to you through those stammering lips. Well, straight away you think of Moses, who also, it seems, had a stammer, who said, I can't go and preach to Pharaoh, and I can't be your spokesman. I am of a slow tongue, literally a stammering lip. And straight away you see this old theme that God uses people who are not qualified because their lack of qualification is their qualification. So many of the prophets don't immediately accept the call to preach. Jeremiah, I'm too young. They all felt inadequate. I'm not the man. You think of how the Lord chose Mary Magdalene to be his first and primary witness of his resurrection. But she was a woman, and women, female testimony, had no legal power, not in Jewish circles nor in Roman circles. Plus, she was the woman out of whom seven demons had been cast, which we understand to be mental illness. She was a woman who had a history of being mentally ill, and that's why when she comes and says Jesus has risen, they're like, yeah, Mary, you're just having one of your turns again. And, of course, she had this unfortunate background as a prostitute. She had zero credibility. You would think, look, just choose someone a bit more solid than that, Lord. But no, it was her lack of qualification which was her qualification. And the Lord likewise chose Peter to preach to the Jews, to the intelligentsia of the Jews. And he was so successful, he got 3,000 people baptized when they heard his sermon on the day of Pentecost. And they mocked him. His critics mocked him that he is unlearned and ignorant, agrammatos. He's not educated. You can tell his Galilean accent. He's never been to school. He's not an educated man. And yet Paul, who you would have thought was the one to preach to the Jews, who was the intellectual, the rabbi, trained in the scriptures, very good at arguing with Jews, he is sent to the Gentiles. So, if you feel that you are inadequate, that, not me, right, well then, that's your adequacy. On the other hand, you could argue that we're given talents in the sense of natural abilities that we are to use in the Lord's service. But if you go down that path too far, you end up denying the simple fact that service of the Lord is picking up his cross and following him. God doesn't need your natural ability. What he prefers far more than your natural ability is your lack of qualification and your stumbling and your stammering and your feeling that, oh, I'm not the right one for this. I'm not cut out for this. Yeah, I'm not, you know, teaching flagellation or, you know, just do something that's purposefully difficult for you. But then what I am saying is that God values humility and a total trust in him for our adequacy, rather than thinking, oh yes, well, I'm quite good at doing this. Yes, well, that's my natural talent. I shall use that. As I say, there's a balance between the two, but I would say that overall, looking at whom God uses in the biblical record, it is those who are inadequate and feel their inadequacy. That is your qualification for being used. Believe that and say to the Lord, look, there were good works that you say in Ephesians 2 were foreordained for me to perform right from the foundation of the world. You had plans for me. Well, here I am. Use me in all my inadequacy.